involved. Damn it! Right now, it felt as if there were no one he could trust. At every turn, it seemed that people would rather see the prince dead than rescued. Only the magistrate herself had given him no reason to doubt, but he didn't really trust her either. For all he knew, Fisk could be working for her. He knew where to start looking, so he should run. That was his initial instinct. However, a nagging doubt quickly started to plague him. It wouldn't go away. He owed Bane. He might not like him, but the guy had saved his life. Keeping far enough behind, he followed the men until they reached precisely the place that Drake had been hoping they wouldn't be heading for, the sheriff's office. He knew the layout reasonably well, only one way in and one way out. And inside were roughly 15 armed deputies, possibly more, not to mention members of the Royal Guard. He waited until Bane had been shoved through the front door before turning and hurrying back to the lot where Cal was parked. Vic was already there, looking very displeased. Beside him stood a small pushcart, inside which was a cylinder about 5 feet tall and 2 feet in diameter. At the top of this was a metal tube attached to a square box that hung down the side. "Where the hell have you been?" the old man demanded. Ignoring his complaining, Drake grabbed the handles of the cart. It was not easy going. Vic was clearly stronger than his years suggested. The cart squeaked and cracked as they made their way over to Cal.
"Got her in camo mode, I see," remarked Vic. "What are you into?"
Drake positioned the cart so that the tube could reach the fuel receptacle just above the left rear tire. At a touch of his finger, the 3-inch square door that prevented others from stealing his fuel popped open. Drake hurriedly put the box end of the tube in place.
"I need to know if there's another way into the sheriff's office," he said.
Vic stiffened.
"Have you lost your mind? You can't break in there. Why would you want to, anyhow? Do you really want to know?"
Vic held out his hands and shook his head.
"No, not even a little."
The fuel cylinder hummed as it filled Cal's tank. Drake looked around. The fact that there had been no one waiting for him here in the lot meant they must have picked up Bane somewhere else. A lucky break for the mage. If Drake had been forced to fight his way to Cal, he would have had no choice but to leave Bane behind.
"I just need a way in," Drake pressed.
Vic would know that building better than most. He not only worked on their vehicles, but he also did a few minor building repairs as well.
"Look, lad, the whole building is a steel box from top to bottom. The only other door is on the roof. That locks from the inside, so you'd need a cutter to get through. And I'd sure like to see you get one of those up there without being spotted."
His frown deepened.
"Whatever you're after, give it up."
Drake opened the trunk, and then the box containing the various files. After selecting two of these, he shoved them into his pocket.
"Just do yourself a favor and forget I was here," he said.
A sharp crack indicated that Cal was filled, and Vic detached the tube and chuckled as he lifted the cart handles.
"Don't worry. There's not much they can do to an old man like me."
He paused to meet Drake's eyes.
"You're a fool. You know that, right?"
He let out a sigh before adding,
"But you've always been a lucky fool."
Drake watched Vic until he was out of sight. If anyone had seen them together, it could go hard on the old mechanic. And, despite what he said, there was still quite a bit they could do to him if they chose to. Returning to the heart of town, Drake went over in his mind how he would set about freeing Bane. He would either be in a cell, the best possible scenario, or in an interrogation room. If the latter, the Royal Guard would be with him, or very close by. Like Vic had said, the two-story office was essentially a steel box. The outer frame had been covered in plates thick enough to repel most weapons. His P-37 could get through, though not without destroying half the building in the process. Deputies and other people with business at the office made for a steady stream of traffic passing through the front door. What had been a bakery stood to the left of this, though the windows were empty and the light shining through revealed that workers had recently been stripping it out, no doubt the building Vic had said the magistrate had bought. On the right-hand side was a tavern where one was sure to find off-duty officers, and those trying to curry favour or just outright bribe them. Drake casually strode up to the bakery, and, after waiting until he was sure that no one in the street was looking in his direction, slipped down a side alley to the back. Scaling the sheriff's building was out of the question. Its smooth sides offered no hand or footholds whatsoever. His eyes shifted over to the bakery's rear wall. Difficult, but not impossible. The bars on the windows would certainly make life simpler. After finding a wooden crate, he tested it for strength, and once satisfied that it was capable of supporting his weight, he placed it just beneath a second-floor window at the far corner. Climbing up, he eyed the bars and steadied his breathing. The sinews of his legs tensed, then burst into life. His jump was just high enough to grab the bottom of the bars with the tips of his fingers. For a moment he dangled there, fervently wishing that he were a few years younger. Eventually, after a few anxious seconds of feeling around, his feet found a tenuous hold on a slightly protruding lintel over the window directly below. This, in turn, allowed him to gain a better grip above. Inch by inch, he then climbed up until he was able to wedge his boot between the bars. A storm drain overhead was now just about within his reach, though it was obviously too flimsy to support his weight. A little above this drain, the very top edge of the building was surrounded by a thin lip. This was what he would need to grab. With a heavy grunt, he straightened his legs and threw out his hands. Panic struck as he felt his fingers slipping the moment they made contact. In desperation, he grabbed at the drain. As expected, a section of it ripped free from its fixings. But at least it slowed his fall slightly, giving him time to seize hold of the lip with his other hand. He cringed as the drain section smacked into the ground below. So much for being silent. Not that there was anything he could do about the noise now. As quickly as he could, he pulled himself up and rolled over onto the flat roof. After a minute, it was clear the commotion had not been enough to draw attention. One piece of luck, he told himself. Now he needed about 50 pieces more. Had he ever been that lucky? He couldn't recall a time. Rising to a crouched position, he crept over to the other side of the building. From this vantage point, he could see across to the door that Vic had mentioned, which was set into a slanted rise in the near corner. He gauged the distance between the two buildings and backed away, focusing his strength. It was a leap of at least 6 feet. Not normally a long way, but at this height and with only a very short approach available, he would need to take care. He sprang into a run, managing just 4 paces before launching himself. His boot struck only a few inches inside the edge of the opposite roof, and he tumbled forward into a roll to stop his momentum. Though the metal plating dulled the sound of his landing, he still waited for a few minutes before approaching the door. This was made from the same metal as the external shell, and gave every impression of being extremely thick. After pulling out one of the files from his pocket and removing the stopper, he carefully poured the clear liquid into and around the door's lock. Within seconds, there was a hiss as a cloud of acrid smoke rose up. He shuffled back a few paces so as not to breathe in the fumes. Slowly, the liquid ate through the metal until he heard a low clunk. When the smoke cleared, there was a 2-inch deep hole in the door, though no sign of it yet breaking through to the other side. He hoped this had been enough to disable the locking mechanism. He had a second file, but he might well need this to free Bane. Gripping the handle, he tugged. The hinges screeched, halting him at once. This door clearly hadn't been opened in a very long time. Bringing a bit of oil with him would have been smart, he told himself. Careful not to touch the still bubbling hole, he pulled again, only this time very slowly. The hinges persisted with their complaint, but now at a much lower volume. He continued this way for nearly a minute before the door was open far enough to pass through. Just inside was a flight of stairs leading down to another door, though as he drew close, he could see this one was made from wood and bore no lock at all. He pressed his ear to the door. Nothing. He cracked it open and could see that this was a storage room. Boxes and old furniture, mostly. After entering, he paused for a few moments to take stock of his situation. He had been here a few times several years ago. In fact, he had once paid the sheriff to house a runner he'd caught overnight. He knew that the cells were all on the top floor. The interrogation room was on the bottom level, along with most of the offices. If they were just holding Bane, there would be maybe 4 men on duty. Possibly fewer, at this time of night. Drake considered the best approach. A smile crept up from the corners of his mouth as he settled on his course of action. It would either be bold and decisive, or the pinnacle of stupidity. He brushed off his jacket and pants, ran his fingers through his hair, and strode from the room. The hallway was empty, though he could hear voices coming from behind the closed doors of the rooms on either side. This was somewhat troubling. The last time he'd been here, the upstairs offices were used only to store files and to give privacy to officials from the magistrate's office when they had reason to visit. Still, there was nothing to do now but keep going. He rounded a corner, passing the stairs that led to the ground floor, and continued on to the end of the next hall. Here a man was sitting at a small desk station, flipping through a stack of papers. He looked up at Drake as he approached and scowled. "You're not supposed to be on this floor," he said. "Let me see your identification." His hand drifted below the desktop, where a gun was certainly kept in easy reach. Drake plastered on a friendly smile and raised his hands. "Take it easy. I'm with the guard." He pulled back his jacket to reveal his P-37. "So?" he snapped back. "Your man is downstairs." He was angry, but no longer reaching for his weapon. The sight of the P-37 had been enough to convince him of the lie. "Yeah, I know. I was checking to be sure you guys had room up here." "Of course we have room. What's wrong? You and your friends think you wouldn't get to have a night out?" Drake spread his hands and shrugged. "We can't get away with it in Troy. They watch us too closely. Anyway, I was just..." He was mid-sentence when the entire building suddenly shook violently, throwing Drake against the wall. The man at the desk was pitched from his chair and left clutching at the floor in wide-eyed shock. 3 more tremendous booms resonated from the walls. Shouts came from downstairs, quickly followed by the sound of gunfire.
"What the hell?"
the man shouted, starting to crawl back toward his desk. Drake could make a very good guess as to what had just happened. Recovering his balance, he took a few quick steps, unholstered his weapon, and struck the man on the back of his skull. He collapsed face down in an untidy heap. As Drake reached the stairs, smoke was already filling the corridor. More gunshots pinged and whizzed, followed by the sizzle of mana lightning. On reaching the bottom, he saw that the walls of what had once been a conference room were completely destroyed. Beyond this, and now clearly visible, were the interrogation rooms. Fire from the wooden tables and chairs nearest the stairs licked at the ceiling, the updraft pulling the smoke to the second floor. Several men and women were emerging from the offices, all of them covering their faces and coughing uncontrollably. In the chaos, they ignored Drake completely. The crack of a P-37 could be heard just beyond his line of sight. He crouched low and started toward it. As he stepped into the interrogation rooms, he immediately saw 2 bodies, 2 of the 3 Royal Guard who had been escorting Bane. They were sprawled out, their dark blue suits smouldering and their flesh horribly scorched. The 3rd guard was several yards ahead, ducked behind a toppled steel table. 6 more men nearby were busy firing their weapons at an open door, the surrounding walls riddled with burns and holes. A flash of green light shot from the room, striking the table. The guard flinched and held his P-37 to his chest. Drake knew what he was about to do. There was no way Bane would survive it. Drake had a choice, one he'd never thought he would have to make. Either allow Bane, a man he despised, to die, or kill a member of the Royal Guard. He leveled his weapon and pushed the switch beside the trigger guard. The heat of the Vex crystal surged in his chest.
"Sorry about this," he muttered.
The impact of a bullet smacking into his right shoulder spun him around just as he fired, sending his shot well wide. The pain was intense, even though the caliber was too small to penetrate his flesh. Ignoring his intended target, Drake rolled and turned. He saw a young woman kneeling behind a shattered table. She let loose 3 more shots, and one struck him in the left foot while the other 2 passed just above his head. He responded with a small burst of mana that hit her on the forearm. Not a lethal shot, but enough to disarm her and send her screaming to the floor. The remaining royal guard, now aware of Drake, was scrambling to the cover of a hallway off to his left. Drake knew there was nothing more he could do. In his present position he was badly exposed, and the remaining guard's weapon would be fully charged by now. One shot would end it. Rising quickly, he headed at a full run back up the stairs. The flames were more intense by now, and the smoke stung at his eyes. The man he had hit was moaning and wheezing, but still completely immobilized. Another thunderous boom shook the building. The guard had apparently decided to use his shot on Bane, and from the feel of the explosion, he had possibly killed a few deputies with it as well.
"Help! Don't leave me in here!"
The voice of what sounded like a young girl was barely audible through the door leading to the holding cells. His good sense told him to ignore it, but the repeated pleas to his conscience soon overruled his brain. He fished a bunch of keys from the pocket of the injured deputy and unlocked the door. Inside was a passage with 5 cells on either side. All were empty, save for one at the end right. A young girl, even younger than Drake had guessed, no more than 16, was gripping the bars and shaking them wildly.
"Please, let me out!"
she screamed. She was a waif of a figure, with mouse-brown hair and a deep tan complexion. Her dark brown eyes were filled with fear as she gazed pleadingly at Drake. She was wearing the typical green coveralls of a prisoner, which meant she was likely to be transferred to a more permanent facility. Drake knew better than to get mixed up with a fugitive, but the smoke was increasing, and he sure as hell couldn't just leave her here to suffocate. Finding the right key, he opened the door.
"Follow me," he told her.
The girl simply nodded. Drake led her back out of the passage and toward the storage room through which he had entered. As they passed the stairs, the pop of gunfire was followed by a bullet striking the wall just ahead of him, sending bits of concrete digging into his face. He let loose a shot in return. Though not specifically aimed, he heard a cry of pain as it struck his attacker. Just as they reached the storage room, Drake glanced back to see the head of the royal guard peering around the corner. He grabbed the girl's arm and flung her inside. A split second later, the door burst to splinters.
"Up there!"
he shouted, pointing to the stairs that led to the roof. The girl obeyed without hesitation. Once outside, Drake pulled the girl behind him and used his P-37 to blast away the steel door's hinges. In no time at all, the door fell completely free of its frame. He waited, and after a tense moment, the guard cautiously appeared on the bottom step, weapon at the ready. Grunting loudly and with his muscles taxed to their limit, Drake lifted the door and sent it crashing down onto the advancing man. At once his P-37 was back in his hand and pointed at the door. But after a few moments, it was clear that his gambit had worked. The guard was still alive, but totally incapacitated.
"At least I didn't have to kill him," Drake thought.
He turned to the girl and nodded toward the bakery.
"You think you can make the jump?"
A cheeky grin appeared on her thin lips.
"Can you, old man?"
She spun on her heels and, in a flash, launched herself through the air, landing on the other side with barely a bend to her knee. Drake suppressed a smile.
"I bet catching her wasn't easy."
With no small effort, he jumped across the void, though, unlike the girl, he was forced to roll to a halt. He was about to tell her to get ready to climb down, but she had already moved over to the edge of the roof.
"You have a car?"
she asked.
"You're not coming with me,"
he told her firmly. She smiled and winked.
"Of course I am."
Before he could object, she was over the edge and already on the way down. Grumbling to himself, Drake followed. By the time he had a hold of the bars on the second floor window, the girl was already down and checking around the corner. Dangling for a moment, he dropped heavily, stumbling back several paces.
"Where are you parked?"
she asked.
"You are not coming with me," he repeated.
"Is that right?"
She walked around the building a few steps.
"Here we are,"
she shouted at the top of her voice.
"Come and get us! Yoo-hoo!"
He sprang forward and covered her mouth.
"Are you crazy? You really want us to get caught?"
Only when she stopped struggling and trying to call out did he remove his hand.
"Unless I have a way out of here, I'm as good as caught anyway," she told him. "What do I care if you get caught with me?"
"I saved your life," he pointed out.
"Not yet, you haven't," she retorted. So you had better make up your mind. They'll shut the bridge down soon enough. Then we're stuck.
Drake's jaw tightened. He wanted to throttle the girl. But there was no time to argue. What she said was right. Grim Lake would be locked up tight within minutes, and then he would be forced to shoot his way out. With a stifled grunt, he pushed his way past her.
"You had better keep up, then," he said. "I'm not waiting for you."
The girl laughed.
"You don't worry about me, old man."
"Old man? Yeah, I guess I am," he thought,
in more ways than one.
"Keep close behind me," he instructed.
Her jail attire would bring the law down on them in a hurry. Curious onlookers had gathered across the street, and deputies were stumbling from the front door. Drake skirted the edge until they were well into the thickest part of the crowd before picking up their pace. The flames were now leaping from the office windows, and smoke was rising from the roof, probably through the opening where the steel door had been. This was just the distraction they needed. No one so much as glanced at the girl. Drake figured it would take some time for the officers to get their bearings and think to shut down the bridge. What was more, until the Royal Guard or the deputy guarding the cells regained consciousness and were able to tell their story, nobody would be looking for either of them. The attendant was sitting atop the hood of an old truck when they reached the parking lot. On seeing Drake approaching, he hopped down and ran up to greet him.
"No one has so much as touched her since you left," he announced.
"Is that right?"
"Well, not since I got back from lunch," he admitted. "But I checked on her, and she's fine."
He paused before asking,
"Did you see what's causing all the commotion? I thought I heard..."
His voice trailed off as his eyes fell on the girl, and he took a step back. Drake hastily pulled a 20 note from his wallet.
"Why don't you go buy yourself some supper?"
The boy hesitated for a long moment before snatching the note and shoving it into his pocket.
"Yeah, I think I'll do that right now."
Drake watched him jog away toward the far side of the lot. As promised, Cal was still there. Once inside, he fired the engine and drove steadily off. After a short period of silence, he asked,
"You have a name?"
"Lynx,"
she replied, admiring Cal's interior.
"That's what they call me, anyhow."
Drake pulled onto the bridge.
"What's your real name?"
"What do you care?"
"I don't," he told her. "Just know that mine is Drake, so you can stop calling me Old Man."
"Nice to meet you, Drake. Nice wheels."
"Don't get too comfortable. You won't be here long."
"You say that."
They reached the end of the bridge and passed the guards without incident. The moment they were back on the road, Drake pressed down on the accelerator, pushing Cal to 120. He needed to find a place to shed his newfound passenger, though something was telling him it wouldn't be as easy as all that. Lynx pulled her knees into her chest and began humming softly.
"We need to find you some fresh clothes," Drake said.
"I have my own things," she replied. "I stashed them before they caught me."
"Where?"
"You're going the right way. I'll tell you when to turn off."
Drake heaved a sigh.
"And then you're on your own. Understand?"
Lynx pretended not to hear him, and continued to hum. He concentrated on the road ahead.
Yeah, he had a kind heart for a hawker, just like Vic had said. But that was what invariably caused him the most trouble, and he doubted this time would be any exception.
Chapter 11. They drove due west for a few hours, before Lynx told him to pull off onto a narrow dirt road. She had been rather quiet throughout, as if in deep contemplation. A small miracle, from Drake's point of view. The less he knew about her, the easier it would be to leave her behind. Several abandoned houses whizzed by, their yards totally overgrown with thorns and weeds. A few lights from candles could be seen in some of the windows. Stragglers, most likely. People without a home, wandering from place to place while waiting to die.
"Is this where you lived?" asked Drake,
instantly regretting the personal inquiry.
"No, just a place to hide."
"What did you do to get locked up?"
He scolded himself the moment the words came out.
"You don't want to know. Stop asking stupid questions."
She smirked.
"Why don't you guess?"
Drake regarded her for a moment.
To send someone your age to prison means it must have been something pretty bad.
I'm 18, she informed him. I just look like a child.
She didn't appear offended, as was often the case when a young person's maturity was called into question. Hell, she probably used her youthful appearance as an advantage. There was definitely more to Lynx than met the eye.
Then I'd say you must have stolen something.
Lynx placed her hand over her chest and gave him a hurt look.
A thief? Me? I should say not.
Her face then melted into a smile.
Okay, you figured it out. I'm a thief, sure enough. But only when I need to be.
So that's why you were in jail?
She shook her head.
Nope. But I'll give you a hint. My next stop was Barmouth.
Drake cocked an eyebrow.
Barmouth? So they were going to...
You got it. They were planning to strap me into a chair and send mana current straight through the top of my cute little head.
There were only a few crimes punishable by death.
Who did you murder?
No one. But that's not what they think. And you know how it is in Vale. No money means no defense.
What will you do?
She shrugged.
I don't know. Keep running until they finally catch up with me, I guess. What else can I do?
If you're innocent, you could try to find proof of that.
I didn't say I was innocent. I said I didn't murder anyone. The guy's dead, for sure.
If you're going to ride with me, I think you had better tell me what happened.
Lynx spread her hands.
What's to tell? Some jerk thought he could have his way with me, and I killed him. Plain and simple.
Drake looked at her incredulously.
You're allowed to protect yourself. There has to be more to it than that.
Yeah. He was the son of a sheriff's deputy.
She leaned back and stared out the window.
Funny thing is, it's all on Holovid. He was kinky and liked to record his little escapades. But fat chance of me getting my hands on it. Can't have a nobody like me stirring up trouble.
Drake had heard just about every story there was. Runners were always trying to convince him that they were innocent. Somehow, though, he believed Lynx. He had seen it all before too many times, people with power taking advantage of those without. But that was the way of the world, and there wasn't a damn thing he could do about it. The mana streams were almost non-existent here. Not much need for power. The few people living in the ramshackle dwellings couldn't afford to pay, even if there was. Lynx pointed to a small barn at the end of a long dirt driveway. Once parked there, she hopped out and scurried around to the back. Drake considered driving away. The very last thing he needed was someone slated for execution tagging along with him. That could really complicate matters. All the same, he knew he couldn't live with himself if he simply deserted her in this dump. He would find somewhere safe for her to hide, maybe even get her a new identity. He knew the right people who could make counterfeit papers and ID cards, and, thanks to Xavier, he had plenty of money to pay for it all. She returned a few minutes later wearing a pair of jeans, a T-shirt, and a blue jacket. A duffel bag was hanging over her shoulder, and he could see a long knife strapped to her waist. Once she was in the car, she tossed the duffel in the back seat and kicked her feet up on the dash.
"That's better," she sighed. "Now, tell me what it is you're after. Maybe I can help. You know, pay you back for breaking me out."
Drake turned Cal toward the road.
"I doubt it. Not unless you know where I can find Exodus."
"Exodus? Sure. Take you right to them if you want. But why do you want to find that bunch of weirdos?"
Drake slammed on the brakes.
"You know where they are."
Lynx was nearly thrown from her seat.
"Hey, take it easy. I said I did, didn't I?"
Drake called up the map and had her point out the area. It would only take a few hours to get there if he hurried.
"How did you find them?" he asked.
"I followed one of them."
Drake eyed her incredulously.
"Why would you do that?"
"To steal? Why else? Those Exodus guys come around from time to time. They always have the best stuff to trade. I figured they'd have to keep it somewhere, right? So I followed one of them back to the base. Didn't do me much good. Everything is underground, and there's no way to sneak in."
"I need you to tell me what you know about them and their facility. Everything."
"There's not much to tell. It's not like they go around advertising. I mean, folks in the black market know about them, and there are rumours that they have spies everywhere. But as far as I know, I'm the only one who knows where they are. No one else has ever had the guts to follow them.
And no one turns them in?
Lynx burst into laughter.
To who? The sheriff? The magistrate? Believe me, anyone who knows a thing about Exodus isn't wanting that kind of attention. I mean, once in a while, someone comes around asking questions. We know they're from Troy. They always offer a reward, but talking to them is more likely to get you locked away than anything else. People just keep their mouths shut, especially when you're only one background check away from a prison cell.
Drake nodded.
I see. This had always been the problem when searching for fugitives. Wherever you were, locals could sniff out people from Troy in a heartbeat. And even if the money was right, giving information to the magistrate or royal guard could get you killed. That's why hawkers existed in the first place. They could go where the authorities couldn't. She went on to describe the facility. Apparently it was well hidden among the barren hills near the barrier. Just a small shack, inside of which was a steel door that led down to Exodus's base of operations.
You're not really planning on trying to get in there, are you?
Lynx asked.
I'm leaving now, he told her flatly. If you don't want to come, you should get out. I'm not stopping.
Her face twisted into a scowl.
You're insane. I hope you know that.
Drake simply stared straight ahead.
Fine, she pressed on. It's your funeral. I'll show you the best way to get close without them seeing you, but after that, we're even.
He pressed down hard on the accelerator.
We're even now.
It was nearly dawn by the time they arrived. Lynx warned him against getting too close.
They always have a couple of guys watching the shed, she explained.
The road ended 5 miles from where she had indicated on the map. The ground here was mostly hard-packed clay and gravel, allowing Drake to continue driving until within a mile of his destination. After that, the dust Cal was kicking up and the hum of her engine prevented him from taking her any closer. This was not ideal. A mile was a long way to run when you were being chased, and if the prince were hurt or otherwise incapacitated, he would have to carry him. That was, assuming he was even still there, or that his information was accurate. He found a spot behind a low hill and parked. The sky was clear and covered in starlight. The mana streams didn't come this far, but there was nothing to power out here anyway, which made him wonder how Exodus ran a base this far away from Troy. It was possible, he supposed, that they drew their power from the barrier somehow. It was only another 30 miles from here. Not that Drake had any idea how the barrier was powered. A friend from his guard days had once suggested that it might be Vex crystals, but that sounded ridiculous. Any Vex crystal larger than the tip of your finger was unstable. Mess around with those, and boom. He shoved aside these thoughts. It was time to focus. All he cared about was rescuing the prince and going home. He retrieved his sword and strapped it across his back. After shoving a file of corrosive in his pocket, he leaned in the window.
Keep an eye out. I may be returning in a big hurry.
You mind leaving her running?
Drake chuckled.
You must really think I'm stupid.
Lynx grinned.
Well, yeah, I do. After all, you are going to break into Exodus.
Can't argue with that logic.
Drake gave her a confident smile and then started up the embankment. The ground was dry, with only a few sickly shrubs and patches of grey grass scattered about. It was widely believed that coming this close to the barrier would make you ill. That wasn't exactly true, though with no moisture and mile after mile of scorched land, no one would want to be stuck here without food or water. North or south, the days brought miserable heat. This was due to the energy from the barrier. At least, that's what he had been told. He kept low, even though the lack of mana streams overhead would have made it nearly impossible for anyone to spot him. The crunch of his boots was the only thing that might give him away. He had just crested a low hill when he caught the sound of nearby voices. Instantly, he dropped to his stomach and listened. 2 men. This was confirmed as he eased his way forward. Just as Lynx had told him, they were guarding a small shack.
"I hear we might be expecting company," said one of the men. "Better keep alert."
The other man sniffed.
"They tell us that every week.
Have you ever seen anyone out this far?
I don't know. Having him here makes me nervous.
If they find us, then we'll all be dead, and you'll know in plenty of time. They'll roll in here with 100 men or more, and not just those magistrate morons. It'll be royal guards armed with P-37s. Hell, they'd probably send the majors along too, just for good measure.
Well, I don't know about you, but I ain't fighting. If they come, I'm running my ass off.
Go ahead. It won't do you a bit of good.
Where are you going to go? The barrier?
If you ask me, it would be better to die fighting. Maybe take one or two of those bastards with you.
Drake smiled at that. If the Royal Guard found this place and sent 100 men, it would be a slaughter. From the look of the light rifles these two were carrying, they would have to be at point-blank range to do any damage at all. He drew his P-37 and channeled a small amount of mana into the chamber. The shots needed to be powerful enough to kill, yet weak enough to be silent. At the 30-yard range separating them, it was difficult to be sure his aim was true. He took a series of deep breaths. 2 dim balls of light streaked down from the hilltop. The first found its home in the center of one guard's chest. The second was a bit less accurate, striking the target in his right shoulder. The injured guard spun from the impact, landing on one knee. His comrade was dead before he hit the ground. Drake fired again just as the man was reaching up toward the door to the shack. This time the shot did its job, hitting him at the base of his spine. Drake sprang up and ran headlong down the other side of the hill. Quickly he searched the bodies. No keys or anything else useful. He regretted the need to kill these men, but he couldn't risk having them alive at his back. There was no telling how long it would take to find the prince, and should they wake up while he was still here, that could mean trouble. Of course, a bit of information from them would have been useful.
"I must be slipping," he muttered.
Inside the shack was a 4-foot-square steel trapdoor set into the ground. A mana pad was placed on a raised panel just beside it.
Definitely slipping.
He could have used one of those men alive. Too late now. He didn't have enough corrosive to burn through, so this left him with only one option. He aimed his P-37 at the mana pad. This would open the door, sure, but it would also probably alert everyone inside that he was coming. The burning in his chest increased as the power flowed into him. He shut his eyes and concentrated. In truth, the P-37 wasn't really made for this sort of magic. But you learned to improvise when you were a hawker. An instant before Drake fired, there was a loud beep and then a rush of air as the door began to swing upward. He instinctively backed away. A moment later, a young lad of no more than 15 years stepped out, carrying a covered tray, preceded by the scent of steamed vegetables and cooked beef. With his attention focused firmly on his feet as he stepped cautiously over the lip of the door, the boy didn't notice Drake at first. Drake leveled his weapon and waited until the youth's eyes raised. When they did, the tray immediately fell to the ground, scattering its contents. For a long moment, the boy simply stood there, seemingly paralyzed with shock. He wasn't about to kill a kid, but he sure would scare the hell out of him.
"Don't move," Drake ordered in his toughest voice.
Ignoring this, the boy suddenly jerked into life. He reached for his belt, and Drake saw the glint of a handgun. Rushing in, he grabbed at the boy's wrist. To his surprise, he was struck twice on the cheek before he could wrestle him to the ground. The boy was still determinedly trying to reach for the gun.
"What the hell is wrong with you?"
Drake shouted.
"Help! Intruder! Help!"
It was easy enough for Drake to overpower him. Wrenching the weapon away, he tossed it to one side, though letting go with one hand earned him a few more punches. Fortunately, the boy wasn't nearly strong enough to cause any real damage. He quickly shifted his knees and sat heavily on the boy's stomach. This promptly took the wind out of him, yet still he struggled. Drake pressed the barrel of the P-37 to his head.
"I would rather not kill you," he said, "but I will if you make me."
"Go ahead,"
the boy spat.
"Look, kid, all I want is to know where the prince is being held. Tell me, and I'll let you walk out of here alive."
"Fuck you. Pull the trigger. You'll never get to him."
Drake groaned.
"Listen to me. There's courage, and then there's just plain stupidity. Do you really want to die?"
The boy said nothing.
He just kept glaring at him defiantly. Drake shrugged.
Fine. Have it your way.
He squeezed the trigger and the boy went rigid for a second, then fell limp. After checking his pulse, Drake let out a sigh of relief. Still alive, though this one would definitely need to be tied and gagged. The sound of fast-approaching footsteps coming from below reached him. They must have heard the boy's shouts. He shot up and ran from the shack, taking up a position just outside. The echoes from the corridor masked the number of people coming. The first figure emerged up to shoulder level with a large caliber revolver poised and ready in his hand. His eyes darted over to where the boy still lay.
"Thomas is down," he called back. "Get inside and close the door,"
shouted another voice. Before the first man could respond to this order, Drake fired with eyes closed. The flare exploded with a deep thump immediately above the open trap door. Cries of panic erupted as the blinding flash and massive concussion ripped down into the hideout. Drake opened his eyes and rushed back inside the shack. The first man, dressed in blue coveralls, was still half in and half out of the opening. His mouth was hanging in utter shock, his red, raw eyes shot wide as he clung desperately to the trapdoor for support. Without hesitating, Drake fired a round into his chest. The man's grip on the door instantly fell away, and he tumbled down the flight of metal stairs he'd been standing on. Drake followed him below. Three more men were at the bottom, roughly 10 feet down, screaming and cursing, the nearest one bleeding profusely from both ears. Drake shot twice more, then hurried over to the remaining man, who had been standing further back from where the flare had exploded. Drake threw his shoulder into the man's gullet and slammed him into the wall. He then glanced over to his left to note that there was a long corridor with a number of metal doors evenly spaced on either side. It ended in a set of double doors, about 100 feet away. He struck the survivor sharply in the temple with his elbow. This was more than enough to quell any resistance, and the weapon he had been holding dropped harmlessly to the floor. Drake then forced him down and onto his back.
"Tell me where the prince is," he demanded.
For a moment, he thought perhaps he had hit him too hard.
"Talk, if you want to live."
The man shook his head. His eyes were open, though from the way they moved about, it was clear that he was still blind.
"You'll never get there," he said. "That's not your problem. Just tell me where he is." "Two levels down, in a holding cell near the far end."
Just as he spoke, the double doors at the far end flew open to reveal an older woman wearing the same blue coveralls as the others. Drake spun his victim around just as a stream of green mana sprang from her hands in his direction. His human shield screamed in agony as the spell seared his flesh. Drake fired back, sending a coil of white light spinning toward the woman. The mage tried to counter the attack, but her reaction was too slow. The light wrapped itself around her body, pinning her arms to her side. At the same time, the stricken man was flailing about wildly. Drake ended his suffering with a shot between the eyes. The mage was still chanting feverishly in a desperate attempt to dispel the magic binding her, when Drake drew close. A grin formed as he clicked the switch above the handle on his P-37 twice, and then squeezed the trigger. In an instant, the mage froze completely motionless, her face still contorted into a mask of pure fury and hatred. She had likely never encountered a weapon like the P-37 before. Mages were an arrogant lot, unable to fathom that a non-magic user could ever be their match. Too bad this one didn't know whom she was dealing with. The mage was still trying to mumble her spell.
"Don't bother," Drake told her. "If I fire once more, you're dead. Now tell me, how many are coming?"
He placed his finger on the trigger and weakened the spell enough to allow her to speak. The pain in his chest doubled as the mana re-entered his body, causing a wave of nausea to wash over him. Drawing power back from a mage was always unpleasant, something for which he could never really prepare himself.
"Your royal guard?"
she asked.
"I was."
He peered through the double doors, another long corridor identical to the first one.
"Now, quickly. Tell me who's coming and I'll only knock you out."
"No one," she replied. "There isn't anyone else on this level."
Drake chuckled.
"You know, I never did care very much for mages. They lie when the truth would serve them better. And you are definitely not improving my opinion of them."
Raising his weapon to her eye level, he placed his finger ominously on the trigger. last chance to be straight with me." He jerked his head over his shoulder to where the man hit by her spell lay. "Believe me, what you did to him will be heaven compared to what this will do." Fear showed in her eyes.
"I have your word you won't kill me?"
"That all depends on what you tell me." After an extended moment, she nodded her agreement.
"Six more men are waiting in the last room at the end of the hall."
"And how do I get to the holding cell from here?"
Surprise registered.
"You're here for the prince?"
"That matters."
"Why would you want to save that pig? Do you realize what he's done? And what more he'll do if he ever gets free?"
"I don't care. Just tell me."
Her jaw tightened, and she looked again at Drake's finger, poised to deliver pain and death.
"It's simple. End of the hall and take a left. You'll find the stairs. Two levels down, turn right."
"That's it? A bit vague, don't you think?"
"They're waiting for you. You'll never make it to the cell."
"I see. So I just follow where all the bullets are coming from."
Drake could see the last room positioned on the right-hand side of the corridor. Very deliberately, so that the woman could see him doing it, he altered the spell, changing its light to a pale green. Just before he fired, a thought occurred.
"You didn't think I was here for the prince, did you?"
he asked. She shook her head.
"What, then?"
"Vex crystals."
Drake furrowed his brow.
"Why on Vale would I want those?"
When there was no answer forthcoming, he squeezed the trigger. The mage let out a muffled groan as the spell did its work. Very quickly she became limp and crumpled to the floor. After gasping twice, she then became perfectly still. Drake lowered his head and sighed.
"Sorry, but I can't risk having you at my back either."
He hated killing women, and even after living in the provinces for all these years, he was still uncomfortable about lying. But at least it had been more or less painless compared to what he could have done to her. He reminded himself that, given the chance, she would have roasted him alive. Pushing these thoughts from his head, he crouched low and took aim at the 6 mana bulbs fixed into the ceiling. Each burst with a sharp pop, leaving the hall in complete darkness. As soon as the last one was extinguished, he edged forward with his back pressed against the right wall until reaching the door immediately before the one the mage had indicated. Once inside, he could see it was a sparsely furnished office containing just a desk, a few cabinets, and an outmoded hollow player shoved into one corner. He pressed his ear to the wall. A muffled cough told him that they were indeed waiting for him in the next room. Likely they would have burst out as he passed by. He crossed to the far wall and pointed his P-37 low. After 4 quick shots, he exited the office and threw himself flat on the passage floor. The explosion that quickly followed sent the doors to both the office and the room where the men were waiting flying from their hinges and crashing into the opposite wall. Through the dust falling from the ceiling in great clouds, he could see flames spewing from the room. The screams of dying men and the crackle of furnishings being consumed tore through the air, though the screams fell silent after less than a minute. Drake waited until the flames had receded, before continuing to the end of the hall, pausing only briefly to glance inside the last room where the wall had been blasted inward from the other side. 6 bodies were strewn about, their coveralls burned away and their flesh scorched black.
Poor bastards.
Following the directions given to him by the mage, he came to the stairs. They were situated beside a lift, a light above indicating that it was currently on his level. He grinned inwardly. Perfect. He used this to descend just 1 level and then peered out. Off to his right, several yards away, was a heavy-looking door with the word "Station" written in bright yellow letters. Right next to this was another door, this one held open by a stop at the bottom. The sinews in his legs erupted, propelling him in this direction. He raced up to the open door, glancing inside before spinning around and heading back toward the lift. As he'd suspected, another trap. A burst of gunfire reverberated down the corridor in response to his fleeting appearance. Dozens of bullets ricocheted off the stone wall, but such was the speed of his movement that he was already well away from the line of fire. They obviously hadn't expected to encounter him here. Drake figured they had been waiting for him to reach the next level and then attack from behind. A good plan.
Or it would have been if he were just some guy trying to steal Vex crystals, for whatever reason. From his brief look, he reckoned on about 15 armed men, each wearing shaded goggles. Smart, but not smart enough. Once back at the lift, he stopped and turned. The heat rose in his chest as he prepared a powerful shot. He needed to be precise and very careful. He could hear orders being barked. Within seconds, they would be coming out after him.
"Did you see how many?"
shouted a voice.
"I only saw one,"
came a reply.
"Could be a trap,"
suggested another. It made sense that they should wonder about the number of intruders. What kind of fool would attack this facility alone? They were probably thinking it was a large group of magistrates' men or the royal guard. The explosions from upstairs would have furthered that assumption. By the time they realized he was alone, it would be too late. He fired at the floor halfway between himself and the open door. A fist-sized red ball of gelatinous fluid sprang out and landed on target, where it wobbled around for a second before splitting itself in two. Drake wished he could see the confused looks on their faces, as the two balls then split into four, and then again to become eight, now forming a line right across the width of the corridor. This was one of his favorite spells, though one that he rarely had the opportunity to use. Thick clouds of pink smoke began issuing from each ball until it formed a dense fog. At the same time, Drake heard the pounding of a lone pair of boots drawing near. One of the men had rushed blindly forward. "Fool!" There was a gasp of someone catching their breath, and then a thin man with short-cropped blonde hair came stumbling into view through the smoke, screaming as it clung to his face and began eating away at his flesh. Barely had he appeared when he spun around and headed back in the direction of his comrades. His screaming reached a frenzied crescendo. Then he went silent. Drake focused another shot. This one need not be very powerful, a simple gust of air. The fog cloud slowly drifted toward the remaining men, settling to about waist high as it went. The shouts of fear and trampling of retreating boots told him that it had worked. The spell would only be lethal for about 5 minutes, but they wouldn't know that. The smoke would linger for at least an hour, the spell having been crafted to resist being sucked up by ventilation. The poor soul who had made himself an example came into view. Now motionless on the floor, there was nothing left of him but a few chunks of bloody meat clinging to bone. A painful way to die. Drake did not waste time dwelling on this. Crossing to the lift, he drew his blade and used it to pry open the door. A service ladder was fixed to the shaft wall. Looking down, he frowned. The next level below was the last. He had been hoping to go down one further than that and then climb back up. "I guess you'll be blasting your way through instead," he muttered. At least they wouldn't be expecting him to arrive that way. As the lift had not moved, most of them would be watching the stairs. He climbed down until able to stand on the lip of the lift door at the bottom, the steady hum of machinery masking any slight sound he might have made in his descent. Using the ladder to steady himself, he found the release for the door and eased it open a few inches. Through this, he could make out a massive chamber with a series of black cylinders placed in neat rows, each one 5 feet tall and roughly half that in diameter. The rear wall was about 100 yards away, but he could not yet get a good look to either side. He widened the opening. He needed to know exactly where they were, otherwise... A bullet pinged off the door, answering his question. More rounds rapidly followed, forcing him back onto the ladder. The gunfire ceased, and he could hear muffled shouts. This was not good. It would take them only a few seconds to work out what they should do. Holstering his weapon, he began to climb, but it was already too late. The whir of the motor came to life, and the cables began to move. He had just a few seconds before being crushed by the lift above. Drake spotted a small crawl space covered by a metal grate just below where he was. But the grate was bolted, and right at this moment his P-37 wasn't charged enough to blast apart the lock securing it. He let loose a half a dozen quick shots anyway, but as expected, they did only minor damage.
Fuck!
There was only one alternative. Reaching out, he jerked the lift door fully open and dived through, throwing himself flat as quickly as possible. Still not quickly enough. Pain shot through his stomach and shoulder as bullets found their mark.
large caliber. They were penetrating, though he couldn't be sure yet how deeply. He returned fire, blindly at first. Then he spotted a dozen men knelt behind a row of toppled tables. The nearest line of cylinders was only a few feet away. As he scrambled toward these, another round struck his right thigh, very nearly sending him back to the floor. Somehow he made it all the way, though not before yet another bullet had grazed his neck. More rounds pummeled the cylinder, now shielding him. A thought flashed through his mind. If these things were filled with Vex crystals, they wouldn't be shooting at them, would they? A door flew open on the opposite side of the chamber, and more men ran in. Blood was now soaking his arm and pouring down his stomach. The wounds burned like hell, but he had little choice other than to fight on. It was either that, or simply give up and die. Channeling power into the P-37, he loosed 6 shots at the newcomers. Blue light streaked across the room, erupting into a wall of flames only a few feet ahead of them and halting their advance. Dropping to his knees, Drake continued firing into the flames until the P-37 needed to be recharged. He had barely started to do this when a bullet pinged above, very nearly parting his hair. The first group were now maneuvering around on either side of him. He returned fire with what little mana he had so far managed to absorb, hitting his assailant in the throat. He then flipped on the manual switch just below the rear sights. 6 shots, standard 45 rounds. He hadn't fired an actual bullet in some time. The first round he let off went wide, but the second one was deadly accurate, thudding into the forehead of a man who was lying on his belly. Drake darted toward the next row of cylinders before they could completely outflank him, letting loose 2 more shots as he ran. One of these hit another foe in the chest, sending him down in an untidy heap. Violent stabs of pain accompanied each pace he took, until he was at last back behind cover. From this position, he spent his remaining 2 rounds. Those attackers, still uninjured, were taking cover among other rows of cylinders and squeezing off random shots, keeping him pinned down. "I don't know what's in these things," he thought, "but I'm sure as hell about to find out." He placed a bloody hand on the surface of the one next to him. It felt solid enough. He increased the mana to the P-37 and took aim at a cylinder 2 rows away from the main group of attackers. A stream of green light streaked out, hitting the target dead center. The explosion that followed was far beyond anything he had expected. At first, flames merely shot out from the point where the mana struck, but a second later the entire container erupted in a huge, fiery ball of molten steel. Such was the power of the blast that it ripped through 2 more cylinders alongside in an instant, inducing the same devastating effect. Drake was sent sprawling more than 10 feet. His head slammed into the stone floor, leaving him momentarily dazed. With all the strength and speed he could muster, he scurried up and ran headlong toward the still-burning wall of flames he had created to stop the newcomers. Another explosion from behind then lifted him completely off his feet and sent him literally flying through the barrier. Only the speed of his passing saved him from serious burns. As it was, he escaped with nothing more than some superficial scorching. Landing on his side, he saw that he had already taken out all but 2 of the men who had rushed the room, and these were slumped on their backsides, holding their heads, after being thrown against the wall by the latest blast. Drake let off 2 quick shots before they even realized he was there. Large hunks of the ceiling were crashing down onto the floor as the chain reaction of blasts continued. Drake dashed through the door from where the reinforcements had entered, and found himself in a small room filled with boxes and crates. 2 more exits were on either side. With the ground rocking beneath his feet and no time to think about it, he raced over to the nearest door on his left. Just as he reached it, a woman staggered through. She was unarmed and looked up at Drake with a terrified expression. "Don't go in there," he told her. She turned to run, but he caught her arm. "Where is the holding cell?" The woman stared back at him, for a moment speechless. "That way," she then said, pointing to the opposite door. "All the way down." "Show me," he said. Though hesitating at first, she quickly changed her mind when he pointed the P-37. She led him through a series of halls and small chambers. Drake was forced to shoot 4 people along the way. Unlike his captive, they were all armed. He saw to it that the woman remained in front of him, so that anyone ahead wouldn't recognize him to be an intruder until it was too late. Each time he killed, she glared at him with hatred and disgust. Only a fierce warning look and a wave of the P-37 prevented her from trying to escape. The